Aho, Monty, what's up? Hey, you looking for a date, Batman? They shook hands and clutched each other's arms. Fortunately, Henry played youth basketball with Monty Farris, the coach, so there had been no trouble when the bear asked if we could use one of the smaller, more private half-court gyms to discuss things with the young woman. You realize, of course, that without jurisdiction, she can just tell us to go jump in a lake. Henry dribbled the ball and flipped it spinning in his hands, shrugged, and then began dribbling to the outside reaches of three-point land. After about 5 minutes, a heavy-set young woman opened the door and looked at us. She wore an oversized letterman's jacket, despite the season, and a black straw cowboy hat decorated with a gold concho, the stampede strings slung to the back. Howdy. She had the look of a white tail that had just discovered two mountain lions at the watering hole. I slipped off my own hat and stuck out my hand. I'm Sheriff Longmire, and this is my friend, Henry Standing Bear. She took my hand with a great deal of trepidation and allowed the door to slip shut behind her, the sudden sound in the empty gymnasium causing her to jump. I gestured toward one of the fold-out wooden bleachers. Why don't you have a seat? She did, and I took the one beside her. I waited a moment, but she just watched the bear as he dribbled and strolled the arc.
I don't know where he is.
I waited a good long time and placed my hat on the bleacher's brim up. I needed all the luck I could get. And who's that?
That got a glance. Clarence.
Henry twirled the ball in his hands. We understand you know him pretty well. She glanced at him, and her voice became flirty.
I know you.
Yes, but not in the same sense.
The bear's face remained immobile as he turned and effortlessly sank a 30-footer. She looked at him and smiled as he retrieved the ball and dribbled back toward center court. I shook my head at his prowess.
Can I ask you some questions, Inez?
She took off her hat, which she placed brim down. Evidently, she didn't need any luck.
When is the last time you saw Mr. Lasbull?
She sniffed and took a pack of cigarettes from the pocket of her coat.
Can I smoke?
I looked around the school property for emphasis.
I don't think so.
She stuffed the pack back in her jacket.
About a week ago.
I paused again. Before the accident?
Yeah.
And where did you see him? The shrug was one I remembered my daughter perfecting at that age.
Where we always meet, at the Buffalo.
The White Buffalo convenience store? She watched Henry some more and then spoke.
Yeah.
Did you arrange a meeting there, or did you just run into each other?
Just ran what you said.
I nodded and thought about what kind of chance Inez Tutu had in this world, and wasn't overcome with confidence. The reservation schools were consistently ranked as the worst in the state. The pay scale for teachers wasn't bad, but the turnover rate was horrific and truancy was rampant. The student dropout point was around sixth grade and wasn't improving.
I didn't know he had a kid.
She continued to watch the bear.
He told me he couldn't have kids.
She called out,
I bet you can't do that again.
The Cheyenne Nation shrugged, turned from the top of the key, and drained another 25-footer. Even I was impressed. I looked back at her. Inez, I doubt that anybody would blame you for the responsibility of that relationship. Clarence is a grown man, and I think it would have been his responsibility to know how old you were.
I liked his Jeep.
Henry bounced the ball off the wall and slowly dribbled toward us.
His car was cool.
There was a trace of a sneer in the next part.
So we took a ride. That's how it all started.
I thought about it. Did he ever take you to the cliffs at Painted Warrior?
Yeah, it was one of his favorite places.
She made a face.
Or used to be.
Henry arrived and stood there flexing his fingers into the ball. What were some of his other favorite places? She thought about it.
He used to work for one of those Amish guys who'd fallen out with the others and lived down near Burney. The guy did handmade boots and had a cabin on the Tongue River near his place. The shrug again. Clarence promised me a pair of boots, but I never got them.
Do you happen to remember the bootmaker's name? She laughed, and I could sense that she was in the act of shutting down.
Stoltzfus. Try and forget that one. But they had a falling out, and I don't think Clarence was welcome there anymore.
Anywhere else? Places where you think he might go if people were looking for him?
I was losing hope.
Anywhere at all.
She actually smiled. No.
The bear interrupted. Hey, Inez.
She took her time, turning to look up at him.
You know who the smartest man I know is?
The fingers laced around the ball, and he palmed it, one-handed, in my direction.
Him.
The Cheyenne Nation took a few steps back onto the court. Now he may come on with the just-an-old-cowboy routine, but when he does that, it means the wagons are circling, and pretty soon there is not going to be anywhere to go.
He bounced the ball to her, and she caught it. You and me, we are going to play a game of talk. You win, you walk. I win, you tell us Clarence's hiding place. These are the rules. You shoot and miss, it is a letter for me. I have to match the shot to keep the letter. You shoot and make the shot, I will subtract the letter. Two letters if I miss. That sound fair?
She smiled and slipped off her coat, allowing it to fall to the floor.
You're on, old bear.
I'll give you a couple of warm-ups. I leaned back to watch, and, spreading my arms, rested my shoulders on the next seat level.
Inez threw the ball back to the bear. Don't need him. Evidently the hook had gone out with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, because after Henry's graceful arc that hit nothing but net, Inez tossed a brick. The Cheyenne Nation pivoted with a reverse layup and deposited the ball in the hoop. Again, he caught the ball and tossed it to her.
T. Reverse left-handed.
Inez misjudged and bounced the ball off of the underside of the rim, almost crowning herself. He went to the three-point line again, this time to the far end of the baseline, and sunk another.
A.
Inez took a deep breath and followed suit. This time, the ball rebounded off the rim. He continued in his around-the-world venture and paused at the top of the key, raised his arms, and, with his thick wrist, flicked the ball and swished another one.
L.
Jesus, I whispered the words before I knew it. She moved to the same spot, but you could see her enthusiasm was flagging. She shot again, and this time she made it.
Take that, old bear.
Henry gripped the ball and dribbled for a moment, possibly having pity on the kid, but it wasn't in him, and he moved another 30 degrees along the perimeter, took a deep step into two-point territory, and drained another.
Back to A.
Inez moved to the spot and shot, but this time it jumped off the backboard over to me. I picked up the ball and stood, giving the bear a good chest-to-chest pass. Henry moved to the top of the key again and drained it.
L.
She slumped and slowly moved out to the spot to give the shot a try.
One step?
I'll give you two,
he said, unsmiling. It was the Cheyenne Nation's form of charity. The young woman heaved the ball up to where it bounced off the rim twice, and then kicked back off the backboard. He retrieved the ball and casually sunk another hook shot.
K.
He strolled over to her, slipped his arm around her shoulders, and brought her over to the bleachers, even going so far as to kiss the top of her head.
I guess we cannot call you Inez 2-2 anymore.
She laughed in spite of herself and stooped to pick up her coat. After a moment she turned to look up at me, and I smiled.
There was a fire lookout tower that he took me to. Down near Black's Pond. It was locked up, but he broke the clasp off, and we spent the night there one time. Diamond Butte Lookout, I think.
Henry tucked the ball under his arm.
Anywhere else?
Not really. He was always looking for a place where we could, you know.
She turned to me and then back to him.
When he could.
Henry asked.
Meaning?
She glanced down and shrugged.
He had problems down there.
I threw her a line. Inez, do you know a man by the name of Artie Smallsong?
Her eyes widened just a bit.
I don't want anything to do with that guy. He's crazy.
Do he and Clarence know each other?
I guess. They had a run-in one time.
In all honesty, we're looking for both Clarence and Artie. Do Do you have any idea where Artie would be?
The answer was hard and fast. No.
Is there any chance they would be together?
No.
You make it sound like they don't like each other. She looked at me, incredulous.
They don't. When I saw the two of them together, they were screaming at each other and threatening to do things. Kill each other and shit.
And when was that?
About a month ago.
She was silent for a while and then took a deep breath.
Can I go now?
Sure. She took her hat and started for the door. Hey, Ned. She stopped when she heard Henry's voice but didn't turn. Be good, because I will be watching.
She nodded solemnly, but she didn't say anything as she opened the door and escaped.
Henry looked after her.
Rarely do you see the promise of a man in a boy, but you almost always see the threat of a woman in a girl. And sometimes the threat is not hollow.
She's young.
Not that young.
I tipped my hat back down. Well, that was an interesting departure from the good cop, bad cop. The good cowboy, bad Indian.
He sighed. Her family has a history of playing hand games. I knew I could count on her sportsmanship, if not her honor.
He easily evaded me when I attempted to slap the ball from under his arm. You never did have the guts to play in the paint, Henry.
He laughed.
The agent in charge was standing by Resdog when we got outside, along with two other agents, one still in the Crown Vic, and the other examining Henry's truck, probably wondering if it ran.
So do I have to go talk to Inez Tutu, or have you done my work for me?
I walked over and stopped, laying an arm on the bed of the truck. I didn't know you guys worked on Sundays. He slipped off his sunglasses, and we both looked around at the gorgeous day.
Neither rain nor snow.
That's the postal service.
I thought about it and quoted, "Neither snow nor rain nor heat nor gloom of night stays these courageous couriers from the swift completion of their appointed rounds."
Wow, I don't think I've ever heard the whole thing.
I nodded. They stole it from Herodotus, about 500 B.C., during the Greek-Persian War. He said it about the Persian-mounted postal couriers.
He shook his head in disbelief. Are you sure you're a sheriff?
I ignored the remark and joined him, tipping my hat back and absorbing the warmth of the sun.
Hey, you don't happen to have a copy of the phone recordings between Artie and Clarence on you, do you?
He gave a small laugh.
Those recordings are FBI property.
You don't have a copy?
I didn't say that.
How about we trade you what Inez said for a copy of the recording?
He lounged against the scaly surface of Henry's truck.
Not a good enough trade. I can always just go inside and question the girl myself.
You might not get anything. She's tough. I gestured toward the bear. And you don't have an Indian scout.
Henry spun the basketball in his hands and glanced up at the outside hoop about 30 feet away.
I will play you for it.
The agent in charge's head came down and he smiled at the Cheyenne Nation.
As much as I'd like to, I don't have time.
3 letters.
Cliff Cly studied my friend for a moment, and then a broad grin spread across his face. He ceremoniously pushed away from the truck and then carefully took off his jacket, folded it, and placed it on the side of the bed and began loosening his tie.
I should probably warn you that I played JV ball at Rutgers.
Henry looked impressed.
Wow.
Rolling up the sleeves on his dress shirt, the FBI AIC paused.
Do I get to pick the 3 letters?
The bear dribbled the ball once and then held it, his dark eyes studying the federal agent.
Funny. I was thinking AIM.
Chapter 10.
Rutgers must have been really shitty that year.
He smiled to himself as we bumped along in Resdog, whose top speed today was evidently 52 miles an hour. I held the CD in my hand and studied the broken AM radio with its cracked glass and missing buttons, the optic orange indicator frozen permanently at the bottom of the dial. Have I told you lately just how much I hate this truck? I sighed, popped the CD back into its paper envelope, and slipped it into my shirt pocket.
What do you know about this Amish bootmaker?
He makes really good boots.
Other than that,
he supposedly got into trouble for his tastes in women.
He married an Indian?
He did. In many ways, Levi Stoltzfus is doing his part for the integration of the High Plains races.
He coaxed the truck off the rumble strip and back into the center of the lane with a movement that would have sent any other vehicle slashing into the opposite ditch. Rezdor considered the movements of the steering wheel in Henry's hands as mild suggestions.
To his credit, he just loaded up his boot shop and moved on down the Tongue River to Burnie.
White Burnie?
No, Red Burnie. Once you've gone red, you cannot get it out of your head.
We took a meandering right onto a dirt road just before the Tongue River and followed the dusty track for a good half mile before Henry urged Rezdog to a stop, then threw the gear shift into reverse and backed up 50 yards with the transmission sounding as if it was going to fall out onto the roadway. The truck stumbled to a stop and the bear pointed at a crooked ranch gate with words chiseled into the overhead log. Stoltzfus world-famous boots. I pivoted to take in the empty road and hillsides and then turned to look back at my buddy.
Hard to be world-famous around these parts.
Give the people quality and they will beat a path to your door.
I guessed F.W. Woolworth. He shook his head. S.S. Kresge?
He shook his head again at my listing of defunct five and dimes, and spun the wheel several times to get the front tires to turn.
Actually, it was the Kinks.
The road was deeply rutted and wound around a tall knob of rocks to our right, then straightened into a washboard that leveled off into a low-slung building that must have been built around the same time as the original small-song structure back in the 40s. There was a house farther up the hill, and a large garden where a native woman was picking vegetables with two small children. Henry parked near the shop. Again he turned the wheels, so that if Rezdog decided to go on an unscheduled sojourn, it wouldn't be a long one. There was a pin-sized stream of antifreeze arcing from the radiator that I didn't see until I walked in front of the vehicle and it sprayed on me. I jumped away and wiped the excess down my jeans and clenched a fist as if to strike the grill guard. I really hate this truck.
Yes, so you have told me.
I dropped my fist and followed Henry toward the front porch when the woman called from the edge of some tacked-together sheep fence on the hill. Are you here about your boots? The two children joined her and looked at me as if they'd never seen a grown man who had pissed himself. I tipped my hat.
No, ma'am.
Because if you are, they're not ready.
Well, we're not really here about boots. She continued as if she hadn't heard me. He always sends a postcard when the boots are ready. Did you get a postcard?
No, ma'am, we haven't ordered any boots.
She glanced at Henry and then back to me. It wasn't like we'd arrived in a reputable vehicle, so I could understand her concern.
Then what do you want?
I gestured toward the bear. We'd like to speak to your husband, if we could. Are you Mrs. Stoltzfus? She pulled a bandana from her black hair and wiped her throat.
Yes, God help me.
Is Levi around?
She gave some quick instructions to the children, who looked disappointed but returned to work as their mother hiked up her skirt, climbed onto a wooden cross step, and swung a leg over the fence.
Do we owe you money?
No.
She picked her way down the hillside, topped the porch risers, and walked over to where we were, her lace-up packers clapping the rough-cut wood like a xylophone. She'd been a beauty at one time, but age and hard work had worn her down. As Lucian would have said, you can't have him plow on Friday and dance on Saturday.
Doesn't make any difference. He's still not here.
She glanced at the Cheyenne Nation.
I know you.
Henry raised an eyebrow. I do not know. Do you?
You're Henry Standing Bear.
She planted a provocative leg forward with a Mother Earth quality, and I immediately liked her.
I'm Irma Spotted Elk. You dated my sister.
The bear nodded his head.
Irma, how is Dottie?
She's living in Seattle. She married some doctor, and we never hear from her.
He folded his arms and leaned against one of the porch poles.
That is too bad.
He looked past her to where the two children were working, but continuing to sneak glances at us.
Yours?
Yeah, they don't like the garden, but they like to eat.
She turned to look at me, our heads about the same height with her standing on the porch.
You a cop?
I smiled, but she didn't smile back. Does it show?
Yeah, especially with that hog leg at the small of your back.
Henry's voice played around her. Irma here has a varied past. She laughed.
Varied, I like that.
She dabbed at the sweat that was dripping into her eyes.
I lived down in Denver for a while, danced. Got into some trouble. I developed a talent for a lot of things, including spotting cops.
I glanced up the hill. And now you're Amish?
Her head inclined a little, belaying the next statement. Yeah, I've seen the world out there, and you can have it. Everything is going to hell.
Maybe. She smiled and studied me.
You going to fix it?
I shrugged. Doing my part.
Which part involves my husband?
Henry's voice was low, but it carried. Clarence Lassbowl. She froze for just that brief instant. And if you hadn't been looking for it, you might have missed it, but I had a couple of talents myself. She converted the freeze into a slow turn toward the bear and then looked back to me.
You want to buy bear boots?
I looked at mine. They were a little worse for wear. Not especially, but I'd really like to talk about Clarence Lassbowl.
That's too bad, because I really want to sell a pair of boots.
She turned, and the wide cotton skirt twirled as she clacked through the open doorway into the shop. Seems like the day for the barter system. I glanced at the Cheyenne Nation, and he nodded for me to pursue. She was sitting in a wooden armchair and had propped her feet on another facing it. She studied me. I walked over, and she put her feet on the floor so I could sit, settling my hat over the embarrassing stain near my crotch. She motioned toward the floor, so I pulled off 50% of my footwear and handed it to her. Irma took my boot and examined it like a surgeon would a tumor. I'd like to know about Clarence Lassbowl. She examined the boot some more.
He used to work for my husband, but that was a while back.
She ran her hand over the nap.
You like rough outs? Because we only do regular leather.
Surprising me, she took my foot and propped it on the edge of her chair between her legs.
Clarence was really good, an artisan. He had an ability and flair, but what he didn't have was stick-to-itiveness. He'd show up and work a few days and then disappear. Levi finally got tired of it and told him to hit the road. I understand he joined the army and became a cook or something.
She wrapped her strong hands around my foot.
Big feet.
I nodded. When was the last time you saw him? There was that momentary pause and the flicker of an eye movement that meant the truth had just flown in the doorway, inspected the place, and flown out.
A year ago?
She looked down at my captured foot and leaned forward, her breasts on either side.
14.
13. I watched as she eased back and pulled a piece of paper from a sheaf on top of the roll-top desk. She placed the paper on the floor.
Stand on that.
I did as she instructed, placing my stocking foot on the sheet as she pulled a carpenter's pencil from the tomato can on the desk and traced around my foot, first at an angle underneath and then vertically. I understand you have a cabin down by the river where he used to stay.
Yeah, when he worked for us, he used to bunk down there.
She tapped my leg and I stepped off the paper.
I need your other foot.
I pulled off the left boot and stood on another sheet. Do you mind if we take a look in the cabin? She continued to regard me.
Yes, I do.
She studied my foot again.
If you want to wait, you can ask for my husband's opinion, but you might be here for a while.
I examined the tools and the dust on them. Where is he?
Buying leather in Rapid?
I glanced up at the calendar and noticed it hadn't been changed over from June. How well did you know Clarence?
Well enough.
Did you know he was involved with Audrey Plainfeather? She paused and then continued around my heel.
I'd heard that.
Did you hear that there had been an accident? She traced around my foot twice, just as she'd done before, and finally looked up at me.
What kind of accident?
His wife was pushed off a cliff. Painted Warrior, a couple of miles up the road. She tapped my leg again, and I stepped off the paper and sat,
bringing our faces a lot closer. She placed the two sheets together and tossed the pencil onto the overcrowded desk.
Pushed doesn't sound like much of an accident.
No, it doesn't. I pulled my boots back on. The added tragedy is that their little boy, Adrian, was in her arms when she fell.
Irma couldn't hide the fact that she was stricken with this bit of news. She wouldn't look at me anymore, instead choosing to look out one of the tiny panes in the casement window above the roll top. The glow of the afternoon light was prismed by the window pane and played off her features. I could see a young girl who had jumped the res and headed out for the big town to a place she wouldn't know anyone, least of all herself. If it was a performance, it was a damn fine one. She looked up the hill at her children and then finally turned to look at me.
That's horrible.
Yes, it is.
I waited a few moments and then tipped my hat back.
You sure you haven't seen him in a year?
Just ropers like the ones you've got on?
Yep. She nodded and copied down my contact information, including the office address.
You're kind of out of your territory, aren't you?
I didn't say anything, which is the most unsettling thing you can say. She stood and placed a hand back on the worn edge of the old desk.
And you don't think the world is going to hell?
I smiled. Like I said, I'm just trying to slow it down a little bit. She remained silent until I saw no more reason to stay and took a step toward the open door.
We have an 8-page list. It'll be a year and a half.
I glanced down the rows of boots. I'm pretty good at waiting. The bear took a few snap peas from a paper bag that he had liberated from the young farmers he had assisted on the hill while I had been ordering boots from their mother, and handed me one as he drove on through Burney Day proper.
So how did it go with Irma?
I munched on the pea pod, crisp and delicious. I ordered a pair of boots. He nodded as he navigated the vintage truck down the road.
It is good that you are supporting the local economy.
She knows something, but she didn't know about Audrey. I glanced out the window and watched the scenery flow by. I think she's seen Clarence a lot more recently than a year ago.
She saw him yesterday.
I turned to look at the Cheyenne Nation. The kids?
Yes. They were very chatty.
He took out another handful and handed me a few. I thought it was very nice that they offered us this lunch. I chewed on another. And? He glanced at me.
Only the peas.
About Clarence? His eyes went back to the road as we recrossed the rumble strip. He was here yesterday afternoon and she gave him supplies. I assume we're now on our way to Diamond Butte Lookout?
We are.
I nodded and reached for more peas, but he slapped my hand and then took one for himself.
We have to ration our supplies.
I listened to him eat as we continued down the road. We came up on a skinny kid walking on the gravel beside the asphalt who was wearing only one shoe. Henry slowed, finally matching the speed of the child's pace, and being that I was on the passenger side, I went ahead and spoke to the young man.
Lose your shoe?
He turned his head at my voice and looked at me.
No.
His smile was wide and beatific.
Found one.
His face brightened even more when he noticed the truck and, more important, the driver. Henry leaned on the brakes in an attempt to stop Res Dog before it could run over the kid, who had bolted around the front and had pulled himself up on the grill guard. He stared at us from over the hood.
What you doing, Bear?
The Cheyenne Nation laced his fingers over the wheel and placed his chin there.
Looking for somebody.
The kid smiled.
You're always looking for somebody. I'm just glad it ain't me.
Henry smiled back at him and then gestured toward me, his partner in justice.
This is my friend, Walt Longmire.
He reversed the gesture.
Walt, this is Wiggins Red Thunder, head of the Burney Road Irregulars.
The boy interrupted.
The bear says you saved his life up on the mountain.
I laughed, glanced at Henry, and then tipped my hat.
Pleasure to meet you, Master Red Thunder.
He cocked his head and closed one eye to look at me.
What did you just call me?
Master, it's a formal address used for young men of undetermined age below 13.
He continued to study me.
I'm 12.
That would be under 13. The grin broadened.
Yeah.
The bear laughed.
Evolta.
Wiggins shot his eyes at me.
Am I set to stay?
Henry nodded, but the young man continued to look at me, uncertain as to my motives. You want a ride, Master Red Thunder? The smile returned.
Yeah, up here.
He turned and lodged his rear end between the top bar of the guard and the dented hood, facing forward and banging an open palm on the rusted green surface.
The Cheyenne Nation shouted,
Dosai!
Our impromptu hood ornament pointed to the right down a dirt road, leading to a cluster of small, shabby houses and a few trailers. Henry wrapped the wheel a few times, and we eased off the paved road and down the wallow of burnt umber dirt. The red road? He gave me the horse eye. I have to check in with my homies. With a little direction, we pulled between a couple of the houses and found two younger children, a boy and girl, who had propped up a John boat with rocks and filled it with a nearby garden hose, making a homemade pool. I watched as they splashed each other and then waved ferociously at us as Rez Dog parked. I sometimes miss being that age.
It was a good time, but now is a good time as well.
I smiled as I started to open